Hello, everybody. I have a question for us to start out with this morning. And it is, have you ever pressed snooze before? Or have you ever been annoyed by someone who has pressed snooze? My name is Mike Malone. I'm one of the pastors here at Ace Show. And I'm here to stand before you to admit that I was once a chronic snoozer. I brought a picture of my alarm clock from college, and just sort of in my defense, I don't know if you guys see it on the picture, but there's a big long bar. It's just so easy and tempting to press. And you can even see there's numbers. There are 5, 10, 15, 20. You could choose how long you wanted to snooze. And it might surprise you, but that I wasn't as put together as I am right now when I press snooze a lot. Or it might surprise you that I think I'm put together. Either way, once upon a time, I had a class Friday morning at 8 a.m., and the class was O-Chem recitation. Now, you didn't get a grade for this class, so it was hard to motivate myself to go. It also was my first semester of my freshman year, so I was still trying to adjust to college and be like wanting to go to class and not staying up too late on Thursday night. So when Friday morning would come, many times I would press snooze. Sometimes I would press snooze more than once. Sometimes I would press snooze multiple times and then not even go to class. I know you might be appalled out there. I know you might even be feeling upset on the behalf of my roommate, Chris. Chris was a great guy. But we didn't know each other before we were roommates. And so he was very friendly and cordial. And one time, not even angry at all, he came up to me on a Friday afternoon and he said, "If you're not going to go to class, can you please not set your alarm?" Which seemed like a reasonable request. And I said, "Yes, I will not do that anymore." But why am I telling you this? Because I believe that Paul was telling the Colossians in Colossians 4, 2 through 6, don't press snooze, stay spiritually awake. Paul realized that they had fallen asleep or started to be fooled by false teachers. They had been deceived to believe that it wasn't only Jesus who brings salvation and fulfillment in their lives. Instead of just trusting in Jesus to pay the penalty for their sins and desiring to follow him the rest of their days, that this commitment would bring them contentment and fullness in their lives. They were told they needed to have Jesus plus spiritual activities, plus moral performance, plus other gods. There was a big thing going around syncretism where they were bringing together all sorts of religions. And you had to believe all different aspects of different ones. And we know that Paul has spent this whole book waking them up and telling them the truth. And now that they were awake, he was saying, stay awake. Don't press snooze. Don't fall asleep again. Don't be fooled. Because there are some things I want to tell you to do. You know, the background of this is that we're concluding our series on the book of Colossians. We've talked about a few things as we've gone through. Like the first week we talked about first things first means making Jesus first in your life. We talked about how it means having hope and community. It means investing in spiritual formation. It means being humble. And today we're going to talk about first things first means don't press snooze. Stay spiritually awake. But before we dive in, let's pray. Father, just thank you for bringing us here this morning to just finish up this series. I just pray that you would be speaking to each one of us here, speaking to our hearts. Help us to stay spiritually awake in our lives. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys can open up your Bibles or your phones to Colossians 4, 2 through 6. We're going to have it on the screen also. And this is what it says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you ought to answer each person. And it's interesting, like, I don't know if you guys have this in your Bibles or on the phone, but right before this section starts, it says further instructions. And when you look and see this, you might think, oh, that's interesting. It's actually not a part of the original Greek manuscripts. And you might think with this inserted that Paul is sort of throwing everything together at the end that he forgot to say. Here are the last things, the further instructions. You know, like, oh, yeah, remember to pray. Do that. Pray for me to be clear and talk about the mystery of Christ. Oh, make sure to be kind to people. Don't be a jerk. Don't say dumb things to people. Sort of like the random things you want to make sure people know before you leave. You know, I've had this all the time. If you guys have been in a conversation with me, you might hear me say something like this. Before we leave, it seems like the conversation is ending and there's one thing I wanted to sneak in there. I'll be say, oh, this is random, but, and then share something. Because I wanted to share it with you before we parted ways. I've thought about this a lot, even the last couple of years, because I've had one daughter go off to college and I have two more who are going to go off to college next year. I think I got to make sure they know some things. I got to make sure they know how much I love them. I should make sure that they know they should prioritize their spiritual life or remember to get help when they need it, to make sure they go to class. Don't be like me and press snooze, right? Tell them grades aren't everything. The list goes on and on. So these verses may seem random, but it's random, but it's not random. This links closely to all the things we've talked about before that Paul has written in Colossians. And these four verses answer the question, now that Jesus is first, now that we're spiritually awake, what do I do or how should I live this out? And Paul starts out by saying you should be steadfast and watchful. Paul wants them to continue steadfast. The Greek word here is proskeneteo, and it signifies being devoted to something and persisting in it. You know, he wants them to persist in prayer. That seems like a good thing. And then the next word is watchful, and the Greek word for that is gregorantis, which literally means to be awake and vigilant. Or to stay awake and be alert, and it refers to maintaining a spiritual watchfulness. Paul wants them to know that first things first means don't press snooze, stay spiritually awake. He's saying, remember all the things that we talked about before because you are in a spiritual battle. They were being in this spiritual battle, they were totally being told that Jesus wasn't enough and being told they needed Jesus plus spiritual performance, Jesus plus going to certain religious ceremonies, Jesus plus doing the right thing or avoiding the wrong. Paul didn't want them to fall back into believing those lies. And I wonder what it is for us to fall back into, or what is easy for us to fall back into. You know, for me, it can be easy to fall back into believing my performance determines my favor with God. If I just don't sin, if I don't get angry, then God will like me. Or I can fall into, if I'm more diligent, if I get ministry things done more quickly, if I spend more time with people, if I love people better, then God will be pleased with me. He will bless H2O. He will help this whole campus come to know Jesus. This whole campus will be reached through H2O and other churches and ministries here. I wonder what it's easy for you guys to fall back into. You know, if I do more, God will give me good grades, maybe, or bless my finances, help me find friends or that significant other I've been looking for, free me from addiction, from this or that. And Paul wants to remind you that your fulfillment, forgiveness, favor, and freedom are only found in Christ, and not to forget it, to stay spiritually awake. Remember that Jesus gives us all these things freely if we place our faith in Christ, if we believe in Him alone to save us from our sins, and we express our desire to follow Him the rest of our lives. when we look at this verse, when we look at this verse first, we might just think that we should pray more because this is steadfast in prayer and God will bless us. And I think this all the time, you know, and this is what it says to be steadfast in prayer. And I think this all the time for my prayer life. This is what it should be. I should be asking God for more things. I should be persisting all the time in asking him for things for myself and others. But when Paul talks about prayer, he sees prayer as a way for them to participate in the unfolding of God's redemption in history. Prayer is a way for us to be a part of this story or his story, Jesus' story. We can have an active relationship with Jesus. We can hear from him, hear how he wants us to participate. And truth like this presented to us should change the way that we live. Or the way or things that we do. You know, I don't know if you guys have had this concept even shared with you before, but I think it's true in all circumstances. This happened recently with one of my daughters. She watched a YouTube video on the ethical environmental impacts of eating meat. Now, some of the ethical reasons were it's argued that the amount of grain used to feed livestock could be used to feed the global human population directly, making a plant-based diet a more efficient way to use resources. Some environmental reasons are the production of meat and dairy places a heavy burden on the environment. Avoiding these products is one of the most effective ways an individual can lower their carbon footprint. These facts and some others caused her to become a vegetarian. And when she did, she had to decide to make some sacrifices. And she did make some sacrifices. She loves canes. And I know canes isn't the most healthy option out there, but when you remove the chicken, it's really unhealthy. Think about it. All you have is like bread and fries left. It resulted in sacrifices for us as a family. I became very familiar with every vegetarian section in the grocery store, particularly the one in Aldi. There's like a frozen section that you can go to. And we always, when we were making meals, we had to make another option that wasn't meat. It was meat-free or vegetarian. Her life and the lives of those around her changed because the truth presented to her changed the way that she lived. And this is what Paul is saying about the gospel. It should change the way we live. And just like the Colossians, we can be tempted to think Jesus is just a part of our lives. We can slowly drift into seeing church service as an event, or church events in general, where we get encouraged, feel some emotions, learn something, but then we go back to the real world. Jesus is cool, but we have to do our real world stuff, let's be honest. Reality is that Jesus is everywhere. He is a part of the real world, and Jesus and the gospel affect everything. So what does it look like for this truth to change the way that we live? Paul goes on to tell us in Colossians 2, 3 through 4, at the same time, pray for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word, declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You know, if I was in prison, I would definitely ask for prayer too. My dad worked in a maximum security prison, and the stories that he shared about when he came home made it seem like a very unsafe place. So I would ask for safety and security. I would pray for protection. And I'm sure Paul wasn't in a great place either in prison, but he asked for prayer to have open doors to proclaim the mysteries of Jesus or the gospel. Beyond this being crazy that he doesn't ask for security, he prays for others, for him to share about Jesus with them. And I think that seems crazy for us, right? We are always praying for what we want or need, but God is calling us to not have our prayers revolve around ourselves. You know, if you're going to a Bible study, you know we're going through the book of Acts this semester. There are four times where God speaks directly to individuals in that book. And you know what he says to them every time? He says, go, I am sending you. And this really shouldn't surprise us. Throughout the whole Bible, God chooses it. People, intercedes for them and blesses them so that his name may be known in the world. We see it in Abraham's life. We see it in the Israelites. We see it in the prophets, the kings. The intercession and blessing is never just for those individuals. Have you ever thought that God redeemed you and blessed you for others' benefit? Psalm 67 sums it up this way. It says, here's Psalm 67, 1 through 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. The psalmist is saying, God, I want you to bless me so I can bless others. And Paul asks for the same thing. I know you might be thinking, well, that's cool because Paul is a super Christian, but I'm here to say this is for us. Because this is also our mission as Christians and as a church. It is our job to make the word of God fully known. Paul knew this, and this is why while he was in prison, he's asking for doors to be opened. He is saying, if this is truly God's story, no matter what situation we are in, we should ask God to open doors. You know, this is one of HCO's core values, is mission, this idea of sharing the gospel. We say that mission is our call. And Paul is saying, if you want to live out mission, if we want to partake in the growth of God's kingdom, the first thing we should do is ask for open doors. If we want to be on mission, we should ask for people to be receptive to the gospel. And after Paul does that, he continues on in Colossians 2:5 to say, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Paul turns his attention to say, as we are asking for open doors, we should be wise in the way we interact with others outside the church. Do you guys remember our prayer goal for mission, our core value of mission this year? It's throughout the semester, live an invitational lifestyle to those outside our community. And as we are doing this year, Paul is calling us to walk in wisdom as we do it. Not in wisdom of the world, or self-help, or fortune cookies, but in the wisdom of God. And to walk in such a way that points people to Jesus. As we invite people to be a part of our lives, let's walk in a way that is winsome. You know, the best use of time here in Greek literally means to buy it up. So let us use our time diligently so we can redeem it to connect men and women to Jesus, to share the gospel with them. And this is a privilege to be called into God's story and invite others to do that with us. And I've seen many people see this as a privilege. We've seen over 100 people go into vocational ministry from H2O since we started in 2008. Of example of after example, Nate and Katie went to plant a church in Southeast Asia on a college campus. The Crispins did the same thing in the Netherlands. Joy Grace is here right now at OSU's campus, reaching out to international students. We have Dave Kessler and Hope. They went out to help college churches in Michigan, in Ohio. All of them came to a point where they had to decide how they were going to live their lives. They saw sharing the gospel as a privilege and wanted to be a part of it. And I know you can say, but I'm not going to be a missionary. But remember, we all have been called. God has touched all of our lives, and he is calling us to go now. To people in your classes, to your friends, to your neighbors, and in the future, wherever you go. You know, our mission statement at HCO is cultivating a Christ-like community at OSU to grow his kingdom wherever we go. We are all called. We are all sent. We're all part of God's gospel going out into the world. We never know what God will do as we engage in this. We never know where God will send us. I have a friend who came to know Christ in college and really wanted to get his PhD in public policy. So he got into the University of Minnesota. So he went to Minneapolis, but he also wanted to not press news. He wanted to stay spiritually awake. He became spiritually awake in college, and he wanted to continue to be that way and continue to help others as he was helped. So as he went to Minneapolis, he found a church to go to that was sharing the gospel with people in the neighborhood where he was living. He knew that he was called to public ministry, but he knew he was also amazed by Jesus and wanted to be part of telling others about him. When we understand the gospel, when we connect with God through the Bible and prayer, a passion for the gospel, a passion for people and the world to know him emerges. When we understand this, we understand the privilege we have to be a part of God's story of redemption, the story that started when Adam and Eve first sinned. And we see this throughout the Bible. People are amazed by Jesus, and then they go tell people about him. Each show is actually named after one of those stories. In John 4, where the woman at the well meets Jesus and goes back to her town and tells people to come meet Jesus. This is so simple and profound, and this has always been God's way to let people know about him. Person to person. And the picture God is painting here is that life is short in light of eternity. And I know that when we talk about telling people about Jesus, when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about even staying spiritually awake, we think of the E word. Yes, evangelism. And when we hear this word, we can quickly jump to some vision of what this looks like. Maybe it was an awkward conversation someone had with you or you've had with somebody trying to tell them about Jesus. Maybe you've seen the guys this year. I've noticed for the first time, guys walking around with big flags on campus that tell people about Jesus and wanting them to come up and talk to them about it. Or maybe you think of some programs or activities. But what Paul is thinking about here is to make Jesus' name known through the everyday interactions that people have with others. I love this quote by Bill Bright. It says, assume whenever you are alone with someone, it's a divine appointment and an answer to prayer. Bill saw every moment as God ordained, not just the mundane interactions with others to get things done, but he saw this as a way to get to know people, a way to share the gospel with them. Think about all the people we interact with on a daily basis. Who can we talk to as we walk to class? Who can we strike up a conversation with as we're in class? How many people do you see at the gym? Who do you see at work? Coworkers, customers? Are all these people outside of the church? Probably not. But when I think about all the people I talk to and see on a daily basis, I'm challenged by the thought, did I make the most of all those opportunities? I don't say this to shame myself or you, but to make us think, to really reflect. Do we speak about Jesus? Have you had a moment you redeemed or bought up? A small conversation about Jesus that had a big impact. How did you walk in wisdom in that situation? And I want to let you know, it's not weird to talk about something you're passionate about. We do this all the time. Someone's passionate about something and then they try to sneak it into every conversation. If you talk to me, I'll probably end up talking about fantasy football at some point. You know, maybe some people around here are really excited about OSU football. Others, when you talk to parents, a lot of times they want to tell you stories about their kids. Or when you're talking to people about school, they want to tell you about their class and maybe why it's the worst or the last exam that they had. Something that people want to make sure that you know about. My dad actually did this all the time. I mentioned before that he worked in a prison and he didn't enjoy it. So every time I would talk to him about jobs, or to have conversations with my friends, or my sisters would have conversations with their friends, or my sisters would talk to my dad, he would make sure, no matter what, to mention that you should do something you love. He was passionate about people enjoying their jobs. When we're passionate about something, we think about how to weave it into any conversation. And this is what Paul is talking about when he says this. In Colossians 2:6, it says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, Francis of Assisi has been said to say, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And the crazy thing is that this is quoted all the time, but it's disputed that he even said it. And Paul is, and I'm here to say that it is necessary at all times to use words if we are ministers of the gospel. Now, this isn't about being pushy or obnoxious. It's about living with intentionality, recognizing that our lives are a testimony and that the moments we have are finite and valuable for God's purposes. Paul says you need to share the gospel in a certain way. He says that you shouldn't shame people. Don't make people afraid. Share the truth in grace, mercy, and love. We are all called and called to share the gospel, and how we speak about it really matters. It's supposed to be gracious. Charis is the Greek word here, referring to speech that is beneficial, kind, appealing, or even winsome. It's not cynical or demeaning or causing fear. And one commentator said seasoned with salt means that a person's words should have good taste, wisdom, and be clear. We should be thinking about how we tell people about Jesus. Be ready to answer their questions. Everyone has questions, and Jesus should impact our answers. You know, we're in a time where people want to talk. They want to discuss things that are happening in the world and in their lives. People want to talk about what interests them. They want to talk about things they care about. And they want to know that you care about them. They want you to listen. And here's the beauty. We can talk to them about Jesus in these situations. Back in Paul's time, Christianity was spread this way, through people talking to other people. It wasn't through concerts, podcasts, or sermons. It spread house to house, person to person. And it wasn't just the special people who did it. It was everyone. So I want to ask you guys, will you guys do this? Will you talk about Jesus? There's many reasons to talk about Jesus. Many reasons to not press snooze and stay spiritually awake. Because ultimately, putting Jesus first means recognizing that he's not meant to be kept secret. That the mystery of Christ or the gospel is a glorious revelation meant to be proclaimed, lived out in our lives, and shared with people we encounter. You know, one of the reasons to do this is because the world is desperate for truth. Our world is drowning in noise, confusion, and despair. The unwavering truth of Jesus is the only thing that offers true hope, lasting peace, and eternal life. People are searching whether they know it or not. Another reason is because it's the very heart of God. God's love isn't static. It's active, reaching, pursuing. From the beginning, his plan has been to reconcile humanity to himself. We're invited into this mission when we place our faith in Christ. We are invited to participate in God's redemptive work in the world. Another reason is because it helps our own faith grow deeper. When we step out in faith to share the gospel, our own understanding of God, our own reliance on him, and our passion for his kingdom intensifies. There's something profoundly transformative about telling people about Jesus. And finally, because Jesus commanded it. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is not just for a select few missionaries. It is for every follower of Christ. We are called to go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And this passage in Colossians shows us how to live out that command in our everyday lives. So I want to ask you guys to not press snooze and stay spiritually awake. I want you to remember that first things first means putting Jesus first in your life. It means having hope in community, investing in your own spiritual formation, being humble. It means sharing the gospel with others. And my challenge for you guys this week, as you remember these things from this series, is to actively seek open doors. This means being alert in your daily life. It's recognizing that every person you encounter, your classmates, roommates, or neighbor, the person in line in front of you, is a potential door. Look for those subtle cues, those moments of connection where you can genuinely listen and perhaps share a piece of your story or hope you have an opportunity to share about Jesus or the gospel. This isn't forcing it. into every conversation, but it's about being spiritually awake and seeing where there are open doors and actively walking through them. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for bringing us here this morning to just talk about this, to close out our series. I pray that you would just help us to learn from you. I pray that the words spoken this morning, especially through the Bible, would have spoken to hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would have transformed people. I pray that you would really have affected people's lives. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.